faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
He wanted to save young men, just like the one who took his life. That man. That young man. I forgive him. I forgive him because it was what Christ did and is what Charlie would do. The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love and always love.
One of the most profoundly touching moments I can remember, where she forgives, Charlie Kirk's wife forgives his killer. Or was it killers? Shocking UK Daily Mail article out over the weekend. Headline, FBI says three Charlie Kirk conspiracy theories involving text messages, hand signals, and a second shooter could be true. They're not ruling them out. Will she have to forgive more? Look, I know Charlie Kirk Had to Die is a strange title for a podcast, but folks, we're missing the big picture here. When you go to motive, the public doesn't quite understand yet why Charlie Kirk had to die. It's for the same reason that the Democrat-controlled FBI under Joe Biden had Turning Point USA under investigation and surveillance. Charlie Kirk had to die because he was killing the Democrats at a level most people don't really understand. As an old campaign manager who's run statewide, I understand how important ground game is. And Charlie Kirk, in partnership with Elon Musk, gave the Republicans that for the first time. See, here's what everyone's missing. Turning Point USA isn't just some nice nonprofit that flies Charlie all over the country to debate with college kids. It's a $96 million a year operation. Do I have your attention now? Back in 2020, Joe Biden won most of the swing states he won by between 11 and 60,000 votes. So you see, Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA was not just about debating college students for fun and cool clicks on YouTube, although he amassed more than 2 billion views on his most popular videos just doing that. That alone is a problem for Democrats. He was registering these voters by the thousands. But it was even worse than that if you're the FBI or a Democrat. He built a ballot chasing operation that encouraged, number one, got these new Republicans registered, but also got them absentee ballots and then sent a virtual paid army after them to hound them, sometimes even going and knocking on their doors to hound them personally till they turned those ballots in. How many votes did that end up adding up to across the swing states for Turning Point USA? 400,000. Here's Charlie Kirk describing that in interviews last year during the run-up to the election.
Yeah, it was an open mic, and we did it at 25 college campuses this last semester. It was amazing. You know, after the first couple, I started to realize, I said, these crowds that we are drawing and attracting, it's not normal. I mean, we were having thousands of students start to show up to these events at University of Wisconsin-Madison. We had 5,000 at the University of Georgia. And I turned to my team, I said, you know, guys, let's keep this a little quiet, which is unusual for us because, you know, we like to draw attention to things. I said, I think we're going to do much better with younger voters than any of the public polling shows, with both young men and young women. And we did the tough work at Turning Point Action. We registered them to vote. We chased their ballot. We had over 1,500 people on staff that were working these college campuses and the associated communities.
All told, what he was doing, if you listen there, he's talking about Wisconsin University, University of Wisconsin, Georgia. Those are swing states. And so when the 3,000 to 5,000 students showed up at these universities, he's registering them to vote. And then his ground troops are chasing their ballots. It added up to 400,000 ballots chased and cast after registering voters across 5 swing states. Folks, that's game changing. And if you don't believe the impact he had, In order to understand why they needed to kill him, and folks, I'm going to get into the they, not the he, but the they part of why they needed to kill him, because I think it was more than one person involved here. To understand that, you've got to look at this article in The Hill this morning. It's from a report by the Democrat Party, and it's shocking. Understand something, folks. All of my lifetime, the youth vote has always gone to Democrats. 18 to 29 has always voted Democrat. That never changes until the last election. And it changes in a historically shocking way. The Democrat registration by men, 18 to 29, they always register in the majority Democrat. The largest group is Democrat, right? And then they get into their 30s, they switch to Republican. Well, men 18 to 29, lowest Democrat registration in 100 years. That's how devastating that this is. The Hill reports in this article today, Gen Z voter data shows warning signs for Democrats about how devastating this is. They write, historically around 49% registration, Democrat registration among young white men. The second biggest group is unaffiliated, and then after that, it's Republican, right? So Democrat registration among young white men is historically around 49%. It's fallen to 29%. While Democrat registration among young white women remained consistent with historical norms at 47%. What happened? Donald Trump won young male votes 18 to 29 by 58%. It was such a devastatingly large gap that he won the youth vote outright, despite what the women were doing with their vote. Democrats notice this. They see Charlie Kirk hitting critical mass, even just in the last few months. I mean, that Utah, you know, where he was shot, he had 3,000 people in that crowd. This was getting worse and worse and worse for them. Even more terrifying to the Democrats, notice in their reactions to this shooting that they're talking racist, 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 racist. Why? Charlie Kirk had begun to devastate them, and just kind of the movement here away from Democrats had begun to devastate them among young non-white men. Folks, particularly black people, Democrats have to get in the low 90s to win. They could dip down into the high 80s if there's enough white voters voting for them. But listen to this. 2 years ago, 66% of young non-white men were registered Democrat. But the report notes Democrat voter registration now sits at 54% among non-white men. They can't win with these numbers. And so what did they do? They took aim at the one person most responsible for those youth vote demographic changes. Who's the other person in the last year that the Democrats have engaged in the most violence against? Think bombing Tesla dealerships. Elon Musk. He's the other reason Trump won. And I'm here to tell you, without Charlie Kirk, Elon Musk, and Scott Pressler, who was registering voters in Pennsylvania, flipped it red, Trump's not president. Let me tell you why. Two reasons. In January, and I was arguing, if you listen to my Battleground America podcast, you know this. This is why I supported Ron DeSantis, because Trump did not have a ground game. And my argument was, well, if he's going to be censored on social media, he has no way to win. Go back to January of 2024. Trump's facing 75 years in prison, but we've got this other really big problem, and it's that in registration, Democrats are number one, biggest category, unaffiliated's number two, and Republicans number three. It's been that way for years, and we simply accepted it. Well, folks, for a long time, I've argued that Ronna Romney McDaniel was a hostile plant at the head of the RNC, they're supposed to be the ones registering voters. And I actually wrote this online piece on X demanding that she be fired. It went viral, did over 1 million views, and Trump called for her resignation the next week. It's one of the few things I feel like I personally did to help save the Republic. Ronna Romney McDaniel, and this is the stat I used because it was so devastating, spent more money on flower arrangements than she did on updating the voter files for 4 years. And the flower arrangement, she was sending one, you know, was sending them to donors, you know, in between her Botox and weight loss treatments that she was paying for with RNC money. You know what I think she was doing? I think that She was working. I think she's part of the Romney family. And I think their goal was to lose as a way of getting Trump out of the party. If he just keeps losing, eventually he'll be gone. And so I think she was deliberately not doing any of this stuff. So here's what happened. Starting the beginning of 2024, and there's a lot of coverage of this on our side, Charlie Kirk unveils this $96 million voter operation that registers voters, but also chases their ballots. Okay, Elon Musk enters the game at the same time. He's got $200 million he wants to donate, but instead of giving it to stupid fat Rana to waste on Botox or whatever, he smartly forms his own PAC, totally redesigns voter registration and outreach software, as well as what Charlie Kirk was using, which is the ballot chasing. So you get them registered, get them absentee ballots, then chase them till those ballots come in, because and including going to their homes, because you can actually see if they've been turned in or not. Elon Musk with the $200 million, you remember him, he focused on the swing states as well. And so that's where Trump's ground game came from. And then you had Lara Trump over at the RNC. They did some registration, but mostly they were instrumental in making sure there was no cheating. And really doing the legal side of it. I'm here to tell you, without Charlie Kirk, Elon Musk, Democrats win the election. We simply did not physically have the voters registered to beat them. Now, look who the most of the violence by Democrats is targeted at. It's eerie. Trump, Charlie Kirk, and Elon Musk's Tesla dealerships. They basically firebombed them, keyed Teslas, did all of that to attack Musk. Why? They know that that without that younger generation, they're not going to make it as a party. Even worse, TPUSA was keeping up with these kids after they were registered and in addition to the ballot chasing.
Yeah, their professors might get 90 minutes to drone on and on about why they think America's a terrible country, but we get them 8 hours a day with a supercomputer in their pocket called an iPhone.
A couple days ago, we were at University of South Florida. We drew over 2,000 students, Brian, and this is in the midst of all the media coverage of the Trump administration saying that the world is ending after an election cycle, and we had 2,000 kids at a very liberal school wait for hours and listen to me take questions at an open mic. We see this in the data, and we see this on the ground, the work that we're doing at Turning Point USA. We are seeing the next generation become profoundly more conservative than even their parents.
Charlie Kirk continuing to live, as you can see, is a big problem for the Democrats, a massive existential problem for the Democrats. He had 20 of these events and many of them in swing states planned around the country. It wasn't just part of a debate strategy or a spreading conservatism and the scripture strategy, although it was part of it. It was a strategy for the midterms. And between Musk and Charlie Kirk, it was working. Remember in January, number one by registration, Democrats in America, number two unaffiliated, number three Republican. By November, it had flipped. Number one was Republican, number two unaffiliated, and number three Democrat. And by the way, folks, I did a podcast on it at the time. Elon Musk is so brilliant. He's not only doing SpaceX and innovating there, he literally, again, redesigned from a technological standpoint our targeting software, our registration software, and our ballot chasing software. So again, all those things had to come together. So am I saying they, plural, killed him? What this podcast is about is motive. When there's a murder trial, you look at motive. The motive is Charlie Kirk couldn't be allowed to live. But did they, as in they, plural, kill him? Last week, we learned the Democrats' law affair wasn't just targeted at Trump. Kirk's was one of the foremost among the 92 Republican grassroots organizations that were being targeted. And over 30 leaders of these organizations were spied on. By the way, none of this is legal. They used the premise of election denial to try to form some kind of conspiracy that they could then use before a Democrat judge to get the warrants for all of this stuff. We know 30 devices were under surveillance. I guarantee you one of them was Charlie Kirk's. And that's the FBI harassing him on the one end. But what about this idea of Charlie Kirk had to die? Well, one of the most jaw-dropping articles I've seen recently is in the UK Daily Mail over the weekend. And it's talking about how the FBI has not ruled out that Tyler Robinson had help. Headline, FBI says three Charlie Kirk conspiracy theories involving text messages, hand signals, it looked like his assassination was being directed by a couple of people in the crowd, and a second shooter could be true. The FBI is not ruling these out, the article says. They are investigating over 30 people, also looking into who was coming and going from the home of Tyler Robinson in the weeks before the assassination. Patel, talking about Kash Patel, leader of the FBI, added they would also look into hand gestures observed as potential signals near Charlie at the time of the assassination and visitors to the alleged shooter's residence. So basically, they are flat out saying we have not ruled out this was a group effort. And I have a funny feeling about this, again, especially after the FBI was already targeting them in a different from a different direction. He was simply too successful and he was building a movement. They had to kill it.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.